Amen. You may be seated.
Oh, hallelujah. I am immensely just enchanted. That's in a truly spiritual way. Of all that God has done for us. And the amazement is that when you look at the beauty that is entrenched in the holiness of separateness of what God is and who He is.
Right.
And we see His pristine glory. It is amazing when we look at the choice of His elect.
Right.
I'm talking about us.
Right. Right.
Lowly creatures. Undeserved. Here you have the undefiled loving the defiled.
All right.
Here
you
have that which is righteous loving the unrighteous. Oh my God. And then above that, such a glorious one bestowing upon those who are the opposite of him, his divine nature. And he did it in eternity. He did it before any of us were ever encapsulated in these vile bodies. So in eternity he elected us, he chose us, and he placed us in the body of Christ. And then for a testimony of who he is and what he has done. Oh my God, the masterful wisdom of God in planning and in testimony encapsulated such ones. Oh my God, into the essence of where he drew us from. And that is from the pit of depravity. So he is truthfully, as this conveyed in the Old Testament, in corroboration, he took us from the junk pile. He took us from the dung hill. You all know what dung is. And he made us kings and princes. Oh my God, hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise him this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh my God. And so don't look at me now. Too many flaws. Oh my God. Nothing beautiful within myself. But in Him, I'm everything. Without Him, we're nothing. In Him, we're everything. Look at the contrast. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to take your document, hopefully within the next 3 outings, including today, we shall conclude part 1. There are 9 parts to follow. I don't know how this is going to progress. And you know, I might worry about it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The knowledge that God has given in the those whom he loved from eternity, amen, has its own course of how such is dispensed. Everybody repeat after me again. Scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. Now let's go to page 12 in that section there. Scripturally cognitive aspects of probabilities. As we have moved down in the discourse of separating and properly apportioning what is real from what is imagined. what is real and what is merely the reflection of what, amen, has been actualized. In other words, we separate what is actual from what is manifestly given and depicting testimony of what God has done. We have been dealing with probabilities, and I would think that's even more intriguing than possibilities. Possibilities are those things that have been able, but probabilities actually those things that we view as most likely to occur. What is most likely to occur? What is, and some of it frightens us, doesn't it? Huh? Amen. You know, basically we walk through life each day and we don't really have a handle on things. Amen. And that makes some of us very, very insecure. Oh my God. But then when we get into the knowledge and understanding and begin to actually see the structure of existence, the first thing we come to realize is that no human has any capacity to effectuate anything or to determine anything. And so don't let it frighten you that you don't have a handle on some things. The truth is, you don't have a handle on anything. Amen. But the one who does, when you look at him, it should give you some security. Amen. God's got it covered. Everybody say, God's got it covered.
God has got it covered.
Got everything in control. And so some are a little upset with the teaching of open theism and process theism, which they both in some form teach that God does not have control of things. That he's getting there, he's working on it. All these forces that we see out here, amen, at some point God will control them and then we'll be all right. I don't get upset with that because you have to see things as being purpose-induced. That is the manifestation of them. Amen. God is defining, depicting in testimony things that ultimately culminate in the glory and the grace of his glory and the goodness of his grace. And amen. After we get through seeing all of this chaos and we begin to put some purpose and reason behind it. Amen. Oh, we marvel and we give him glory and we give him praise. Amen. For all he is and what he is. And also for what he is doing. Amen. And everything. Amen. Yeah. Marches and moves to the drumbeat of God. Amen. And, oh my God, to the end, that all of the praise and all of the glory ultimately is to his, amen, entrance, of us being enabled to perceive his goodness and the essence of the majesty of his will. Now, in this section, the cognitive, the scripturally, I should say, cognitive aspect of probabilities, again, probabilities are those things that are most likely to occur. Amen. And God has got everything in control and God is working out everything. Amen. I think we had moved to page. Let us fast forward here. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Let us fast forward to over to page 22 at the bottom. Amen. We had conveyed from the Kingdom Gospel some things that Jesus had said in Matthew 6 and 20, and then, amen, in corroboration, we had illustrated, calculated probability, amen, based upon the things that are prophesied, amen. But even with this that we have been given, there's a lot of misconstruing what all of this really actually means. Amen. So when we look at many things, and from our view, it only reflects our minuscule level of knowledge about the subject of living on earth. You know very little of how things actually transpire. We are to lean to our understanding and our knowledge and our comprehension. We are to look to God. And so we look in the scriptures and we live by the scriptures and we move and we operate and we function, amen, in the essence of what God has revealed unto us. In the bottom paragraph of 22, in the grace gospel, everybody got that? Say amen. In the grace gospel, there is the heavenly's enlightened view depicted in the most fundamental manner of conveyances entailing an array of instructions and directives that are addressed to the grace church. As we said, we looked at the word, the Greek word peripatesis. It is rendered walk. It denotes the manner of conduct, mannerism of how we live as we move through the course of this life. As we've said, the transliteration of this into English is utilized and realizing that all of, I'm just going back up a few things here, all of creation that is existing in the sphere of time is peripatetic, an adjective. This word pertains to one walking about or traveling from place to place, such as an itinerant. As a noun, it denotes one who walks about, sort of like a pedestrian. Here, the general inference is that all that exists in time is transitional. We're just moving through. Everybody said we're just moving through. Huh? Amen. We're just sojourners. En route to our permanent state of possession. As this relates to us, it is documented in I don't hear much teaching of the doctrine of peripatetiology. Everybody said doctrine of peripatetiology. That is the study of how we live, or how we should live anyway. The believer's walk and our journey through time as we move to our eternal destination. Again, we're just sojourners. We're just travelers through here. Amen. I don't know how do we come to the point that we understand, amen, that we're not stationary. Nobody can hold today in place or bring back yesterday, nor fast forward tomorrow. Amen. God has it all incrementally laid out and structured to flow, amen, one beat at a time in manifestation, yet all is already realized and actualized in eternity. Now, there's a plethora, that is a whole lot of them, of detailed information in the scriptures, detailing the purpose, plan, and design of God as he manifestly correlates his will in our lives through the elements of the depraved creation. We're moving through a terrain and it's depraved. It's depravity. Amen. All of nature has been subjected to depravity, including the human nature. Follow me now. This is concomitantly, that is, it is accomplished, or it goes in hand, it accompanies the sphere of time. Unfortunately, there's the general practice of attempting to glean information in this regard, as I was speaking to the young people this morning, from the Old Testament writings and from the Kingdom Truth writings. And that's why you must divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants. If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and their respective covenants, you're going to be confused, my friend. And you'll never know and understand the essence of what's going on. Now, when we look at the earthly covenantal volumes of documentation in the promise, that's begins at about the 12th chapter of Genesis and up into the 19th chapter of Exodus, wherein we receive, where Moses received what is called the Mosaic Covenant, which is the law, which runs through the end of Malachi, even though those prophecies of that are in the scriptures we, many of us, preach, amen, so enthusiastically from, amen, when we are talking about Jeremiah, and we're talking about Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, and which we refer to as the major prophets, and then the minor prophets, Hosea and Amos and some of the rest, they refer to as the major prophets. All of these were prophecies that took the promise that God made to Abraham, amen, and in spite of the law, it conveys in the new covenant, as Jeremiah 31:31 so explicitly states, amen, to the house of Israel, to the house of Judah, the essence of God having replaced the old with the new, amen. And so we have the new covenantal writings in what they refer to in the Gospels, even the synopsis that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then in the Gospel of John, which does give more information. And so as we look into the first seven chapters of Acts, we see all of that being played out. Amen. And then we see a man named Saul on his way to Damascus. Amen. Whom God, amen, from the beginning, as Paul would write later and state that from my mother's womb,
yeah,
huh?
Amen.
Oh my God, hallelujah.
God.
He had called me and placed me into, my God, hallelujah, this ministry, amen. What do you mean, Paul? How can it be? Because he was speaking of the actualization that was in God's decree, amen, as distinguished from the manifestation of Paul's faithful trip to Damascus. Oh my God, and God ordered and placed him into the essence of that which he had reserved and hid from a generation, amen, that was never known, that Paul refers to as the mystery. Oh my God. This volume of truth that no man knew until God revealed it unto Paul. And so we see the total workings of God and what he has done in our gospel as we look at those 14 epistles. Amen. It would be like picking up today's newspaper versus picking up the newspaper a century ago. Amen. This is the now time. Written for the now people.
Yes.
In the now language.
Yes.
Y'all don't hear me.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Amen.
Oh my God. That which was never heard of. That goes beyond the scope of the horizontal things that are around us. But takes us up into the sphere of the heavenlies. And gives us a bird's eye view. To see the essence of God that all the way from eternity. Hey, God loved you. He chose you and placed you in the body of Christ. Some position you. Y'all hear me this morning.
Thank God.
It is from that plateau that we preach. Amen. From seeing and knowing the essence of the glory of God and how much love he had for you before you ever got here. Amen. That's what we need. That's what we need. Oh my God, that's what we need to know. Back into that second paragraph. So, When we look at these volumes of documentations and the promise of the law and kingdom, as they present views of God's people moving through time, stricken from the temporary vantage point, that which is seen by them, in essence, the supreme focus of life is laid out in the heavenlies, in the grace covenant. Oh my God, God gave us the best. The grace covenant. The volume of truth delineating the unlimited view of God's beloved, the view of us firmly positioned in the body of Christ. It is in this light that as we journey and sojourn through time, our walk is in knowledge from the heavenless, eternal, spiritual, unseen vantage point of that which is unseen in time. Yet we know that all has been confidently perceived in eternity. Now, I want you to go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. That's where we were last week. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Brother Deacon and everyone else, what I want to do this morning, and oh my God, you pray for me. I got this week, next week, and the next week, things go right to finish this up. Amen, because I am going to take the summer off. I say this for those that may be listening. Amen. When you don't hear me for a while and others, no, nothing has happened to me. I'm fine. All right. Here we go to the third chapter of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 20. Brother Deacon, let's read the whole thing and then we'll come back. We're going to focus on 10 and 11. Amen. Ultimately, our focus will be on verse 20 and 21. So let's go back to, you see, in order to contextualize it, we have to do that. That's one of the threefold methodologies, entities, of scrutiny, of scrutinizing as we look into the Word of God. As you read the Word of God, amen, and of course, there is methodology to it. Many think that you just pick up whatever your favorite translation is and read it, and then grab your favorite commentary to see what it means. No, no, the true work is to exegete the Scripture. How? Historically, grammatically, and contextually. Amen. So why we go through all this and so forth and so on? And you know, you ever picked up several translations and look at it, and sometimes I watch ministers as they're preaching on TV, and they say, I like how the Living Word puts it. No. You know, verse, this is said the way I like it best. No. Now, the question is, what is it actually saying? Because if the King James is expressing one thing, and the NIV is expressing another, and I caution you when you look at that NIV, not that I'm picking on the NIV, but they do a lot of editorizing, and you gotta watch that. Amen. And at least this is why, in the form of our preaching and teaching, we have these, interlineal Greek that we have passed out to you, at least with the Greek word there, he's got to come under it with the English word, and he won't be able to put something in there unless he puts some type of some type of an indicator, something in the margin or something, let you know why he did that. Because if that Greek word is not there to support it, he shouldn't be saying it. You know, that's like, none of us like when we say something and somebody comes right and they change our words around. We don't like that, do we? Huh? Yeah, but that's what's happening and why you have the variety of translations of what a thing says. So what we do as we exegete, we go into the Scriptures and we go and we take the copies, we take the same material that they had. We take the copies of the copies because that's the only thing that's available. No autographs are around. The original writing, and we go into them, and we break it down. Now, why do you do this? So, because we want to know what is actually being said. Amen. Well, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, and say, if you're talking about, you know, this is a noun, this is a verb, this is an adjective. Are you kidding? Let me give you an example.
Come on.
The word that is spelled in English, M-I-N-U-T-E, what does that spell?
Minute.
Minute. Depending upon what? The word minute is a noun.
Okay.
It describes 1/60 of an hour.
Right. Right.
Or 60 times
right.
Seconds.
Right.
The word minute is an adjective. It's telling how it means something small or infinitesimal.
Yeah.
Now, when we're reading in English, because we don't use the grammar that much, most of us, we will look at the context to see whether we said minute or whether we said minute. In the Greek, the delineation there, declension, I should say, the declension will give you the key as to whether it is a noun, an adjective, a verb. So I'm going to look at that to know what to call it.
Mm-hmm. Glory. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not only do you have two different meanings, you have two different pronunciations depending upon what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So as we go through this, it is a laborious task. It is tough. It is hard. It is long. Amen. We're going back and forth and so forth. But is it worth it to actually know what it said? Amen. In lieu of what they say is saying.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
With that said,
yes.
Let us, oh my God. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish y'all would let me do that 3-hour thing. just kidding. Philippians. That's really funny to some of y'all. Philippians. I can just imagine looking up in the, all of a sudden this place is empty. All right. I don't know why the preachers always put on the time limit. That's a concert. 2 hours go by. 3 years go by. It's a, sing the song, child. The minute the man start preaching, everybody start watching the clock. All right, everybody got it. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Deacon, read the whole thing, beginning at verse 10. Mm-hmm.
King James.
We're gonna read the King James. How can we do that? And I've been accused of picking on the King James. I have nothing against the King James. It's a pretty good translation, but as all translations go, sometimes they are moved by their prejudice, and of course, we all bring some prejudice to the table. But we will read that, and then we will read just 10 and 11 from the interlineal. All right?
Philippians chapter 3,
mm-hmm.
verses 10.
Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
All right?
That I may know him.
Mm.
And the power of his resurrection,
mm-hmm.
and the fellowship of his sufferings,
mm-hmm.
being made conformable unto his death,
mm-hmm.
if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead,
mm-hmm.
not as though I had already attained.
I am attaining it. Now here Paul is talking about what? Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Not talking about being super saved. A super holy. A super anything. He's speaking about here comprehension.
Right.
All right, read.
Not as though I had already attained,
mm-hmm.
either were already perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended,
mm-hmm.
but this one thing I do,
mm-hmm.
forgetting those things which are behind.
The law and all of that that Paul had, you remember, he was a Pharisee by his own testimony, and he sat and was a scholar, amen, and so he was in, had been entrenched from the law, but he speaks about that as those things that are behind. Go ahead.
And reaching forth unto those things which are before.
It's a bad translation. Keep reading.
I press toward the mark,
mm-hmm.
for the prize of the high calling of God,
mm-hmm.
in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Let us therefore, as many as be perfect.
That is matured. Matured. That Greek word is matured. That, nobody is perfect. All right, keep reading. I don't want to get off on that.
Be thus minded.
Mm-hmm.
And if in anything ye be otherwise minded,
mm-hmm.
God shall reveal even
God
this
shall reveal.
Unto
we're
you.
Talking the knowledge. We're talking here. Nevertheless, verse 16.
Nevertheless,
mm-hmm.
whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same
route. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? You got the Pentecostals over here teaching one thing, you got the Methodists teaching another, you got Amen. The Baptists teaching another, and the Catholics teaching another, and I mean, you can just go down the line. Amen. And every day you got even more factions springing up. Amen. So, Paul, what are you talking about? In Ephesians, he was speaking about everybody being on the same page also. Amen. He said, it's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. How you do that? You do that by focusing on the same contract, the same covenant. What's your covenant?
Grace covenant.
The grace covenant. The grace covenant. The grace covenant is found where? It's found in the volume of truth, the mystery. That which was revealed to Paul. That's how we can all be on the same page. And that rightly divided, I might say. All right, read.
Let us mind the same thing.
Ditto.
Brethren, be followers together of me.
Now, Paul is not saying follow me. We must understand contextually. Amen. Remember, as he speaks, he's talking about be followers of those things that God has given to me as you look at the entire context and knowledge. Amen. He wouldn't be telling somebody to follow him and here he doesn't have it all. Amen. He was speaking in terms of the knowledge and understanding that God has conveyed and is daily conveying to the church. Amen. Be followers of, actually, to just know what's in your contract here. See? Amen. So that's why a ministry must always be about the message. Never about the man. I mean, here... Listen, we are 2,000 years later. 2,000 years later. 2,000 years later. Since Paul went off the scene. The message of grace is alive and well. Suppose that ministry had been about Paul.
Amen.
It is downright ridiculous. It's actually nauseating for a man to name a ministry after himself. And I know this is being recorded, but I don't care.
Amen.
If I was to name the Ministry of Grace Gospel George Cutler Ministries, when George Cutler died, the ministry is gone. But if this is the grace gospel ministry, it is a continuation of what Paul began, amen, when he wrote these epistles. Not about the man. Now, in a few weeks, the ministry here is going to take over and they're going throughout the summer and into the fall. They're going to be ministering. Now, if that was about me or the pastor, or one over the other, so forth and so on, then you would come to fellowship and assembly based upon, well, who's preaching today? Where you going today? I don't know who's preaching. No, 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 you, no, you don't. No, you don't.
Amen.
No, you don't. The ministry has to be personalist. If Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse, I better say that part, get up here speaking the gospel of the grace of God, you say amen.
Amen.
Because you came for the message.
Glory.
Because something could happen to the man. The message goes on. So here Paul is focusing on the message.
Amen.
And there's only one message.
Thank God.
In the grace dispensation.
That's right.
It is the grace covenant. The mystery for the church.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
This is why we emphatically,
emphatically,
even dogmatically, say stay in your gospel.
That's right. Amen.
Read the whole Bible, but stay in your gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Major in your gospel.
Amen.
Not run all over the Bible and get confused. If you learn the mystery, then when you go into Genesis, into the garden, you'll have a better understanding of what's happened. You're not seeing it from just where Adam saw it or from where Moses saw it. You're seeing it from the essence of the eternal plan of God. Oh, my God.
Huh?
Which God has privileged us in this dispensation, under this contract, to see the majesty of his workings. Oh, my goodness. This is why I praise God day and night. Amen. For what he has done for such non-deserving creatures. All right, keep reading, brother. I had to stop and make that commentary because we got some off-functioning ideas here in Christendom. All right, read.
Continuing verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
And mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example.
Mm-hmm.
For many walk.
That means note them. That means ostracize somebody. Paul said, note who they are so that you don't follow what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? All right, read.
For many walk, of whom I have told you often,
mm-hmm.
and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
They are enemies. They are enemies of the cross of Christ. In other words, you have a double genitive. I don't want to get tired of that, but they're enemies of Christ and what the testimony of the cross is depicted. This is what he's saying. Read.
Whose end is destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Whose God is their belly.
I'll deal with that before I close out on this. Mm-hmm.
And whose glory is in their shame.
Mm-hmm.
Who mine earthly things.
You don't hear them reading about this. I mean, you don't hear this.
Oh, no.
You don't. When you're watching television and you're seeing the mega churches, you don't read this, do you?
Oh, no.
They don't read this, do they? They don't mention this, do they? Amen. Because you cannot, as we were saying Friday night, you cannot prioritize both heavenly and earthly things. You're going to either prioritize one and you're going to have the other in a secondary position.
Amen. That's right.
Listen. You got a profession? Amen. I love it.
Amen.
You going off to school? To college? I love it. But keep it in its perspective place.
Glory to God.
Hear me this morning. The essence of life lies in God's eternal decree. That's what the action is.
Glory to God.
That is abiding forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What you're doing now is going to pass. You're going to die one day. If the Lord tarry, you're going to die. If the Lord tarries another 100 years, I dare say everybody in here will be dead. Because not many people live past 100 years old. But just about everybody in here will be dead. If the Lord has allowed 2108 to manifest, everybody in here will be gone. Where you work, what degree you had, what profession you had, will be meaningless. At that time, to you. You say, well, it's important to those that are living there. I'm talking about to you. To you. To you. You cannot put God in a secondary position. You cannot take your life and what you're doing now and prioritize that over the things of God. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. That job, one day you're going to leave it, even if it's only through retirement. That profession, you won't be doing that anymore. Your home, that's not really your home. God loaned you that. What's the characteristics of something that is loaned to you? You have to give it back. Naked you come in, what? That means you're giving it back. It's staying here, but you're gone. You're out of here. And so these are the things that we must understand realistically. And that's my prayer and my desire for God's people to know this. Your better days are ahead. Your life could be so much enriched if you dwell in the eternal realm of who you are in Christ. Look beyond this. Then we're not so devastated as God took us out of here. Well, so-and-so died. Well, from the humanist part of it, yeah, I'm sorry to see him go and so from so-and-so, but I'm not on an illusion that just like they will, I'm going too. And you're going too. So you must understand these things. So why does the Bible keep telling us not to prioritize earthly things? And what is it about the things that are around us that we just can't seem to, it doesn't sink in. We're living like this is what it is forever. Mm-hmm. Oh. No, it's not. How many funerals do we have to go to? We go to the funerals and we say all the right things. We go to the cemetery, we commit the body, and that's all you're committing is a body that's going to dissipate. That's not that person. Then we come back to the church or the hall or whatever you've rented, and we sit down and we eat chicken or whatever they fix, and, you know, and then boom, somebody's barreling out the door because I got to go do this. I'm saying go ahead, but don't let that be your main thing. Paul writes in the fourth chapter thingness of the album, which we talked about a few seconds ago, and King James said, about the vocation of your calling, actually, that word is the same word. It's just in another form. Mm-hmm. That should read, the calling of your call. The call of your calling. It's what God has called you to. What has God called you to? Ultimately, has he called you to your profession? No. Has he even ultimately call you to be a father? No, because he's your father. And your children won't be your children in the body of Christ.
No way.
These are temporary earthly assignments.
That's all.
Somebody asked that question and said, you want to see my mother? Yeah, you see, but it won't be the same. I mean, what kind of situation would be the body of Christ? There's everybody sitting there. Well, that's my mother. My first thing you're going to have is what? Discrimination.
There you go.
Right?
No way. I mean,
huh? They asked Jesus in the kingdom gospel, said, okay, now according to the law, this brother dies and then his other brother is obligated by the law to become his widow's husband so to keep the going. He said, what if that happened two or three times? And they get to heaven. Whose wife would she be? Jesus said, fellas, listen. So you guys got it all wrong. as it relates to the kingdom respondents and those that God, amen, has placed in the commonwealth of Israel, he said, Eric, wife, what are you talking about? You will be wife because the the commonwealth of Israel is the bride of Christ.
Yes.
See, we think in physicality.
That's it. Amen.
Who you are as members of the body of Christ is more prevalent than who you are encapsulated in the bodies and where you have been placed and what family you've been placed and who you've been assigned to, amen, as mother, father, and what children have been assigned to you, amen. These are only earthly physical relationships that are more permanent. Ooh, that's not sound too good. What are you talking about? Every component member of the body of Christ, amen, will be so enthralled with the head that you will love each other based upon your love for the head.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you.
We will love each other as we love Christ.
Oh, glory.
Woo!
Yes.
Now, you know, you hear this kind of preaching, but it doesn't make earthly sense. And, you know, people can't relate. Just say, well, if you're not, let's take this Bible and just pitch it. At least rip the pages out from Romans to Hebrews. And that's what someone tried to do some centuries ago. But this is what the real life is. Not that stuff that we go around here imagining. We should stop living in illusions. God help us to remember, as we were reading the pastor's pen earlier, we need to stop living in illusions. If you don't read any other part of that document of faith and free will, read the very last two pages, which is the summation. Let's stop living an illusion, because an illusion is nothing but a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
mm-hmm. That's it. Amen.
Oh my God, look at that clock.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Finish up those two verses, and then we're going to get 10 and 11, and then I'm down, and you all pray for me. I'm trying to get through this. I'm trying. Read.
Verse 20.
Uh-huh.
Philippians 3. For our conversation is in heaven.
That Greek word there, when we get to it in the Greek, means your mode of living, your manner of living, your true life living. I don't know why they put conversation there, but all right, go ahead.
From whence also we look for the Savior,
mm-hmm.
the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so where are we looking? What vantage point are we looking for him from? On the earth? No, from the heavenlies.
Mm-hmm.
From the heavenlies.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking from the earthly view. We're looking from the heavenly view. Those in the body of Christ, you're looking at him from the heavenly view. Not the earthly view. Now those who are in the commonwealth of Israel, they're looking for him from the earthly view. Because they have been consigned to that which was promised to Abraham.
Yeah.
And so they will live on the earth forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
According to what God has promised Abraham.
That's right. Amen. Thank God.
But God has not promised you not one square inch of this earth.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen. Amen.
He has given us more.
Oh,
can you say more?
More.
Can you say more?
More.
We are in him. We are in Christ. All right. Verse 21.
Who shall change our vile body,
mm-hmm.
that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body,
ooh.
According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself.
Let's go back and we'll straighten that out. Now, let's, with the time we let, let's go back. Now, those who have the Greek interlineals, and amen, hopefully everyone at some point will find enough of them that is those that are not contaminated, amen, to pass out to you, amen. Basically, it is the critical text of the category of the manuscripts that's labor, the critical text that we endorse over the Texas receptors are the majority text. Now, there are flaws and there are mistakes in all of them because there was no copy machines then, amen, and the only way to copy something was to give it to a scribe, amen. Of course, through all of this, who is the teacher?
The Holy Spirit.
All right? For those of you that have it, let's follow. Let's go to verse 10. Those that you don't, just listen and follow as we move through this. Amen. Read yours. If it sounds a little different, it's because King James didn't actually follow the script. All right, read.
Philippians 3:10, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
To know him.
You see the difference already? King James said, that I may know him. That's not what Paul said. He said, to know him. In fact, he said, more than to know him. Here you have the Greek verb, nōne, which is a verb infinitive. Infinitive is what? What is an infinitive? It's a verbal noun.
Amen.
But here, nōne, as we look at its structure there, it is an infinitive, but it is an aorist infinitive. What is the aorist tense? So if you're going to really follow that, you would have to say, to know, having known.
Right.
What are you talking about, Paul?
Amen.
I know this because God predeterminately assigned that knowledge.
Right. Yeah.
That was pre-assigned knowledge. To know him.
Mm-hmm.
Who is him?
Jesus.
To know the Lord. Jesus, God, you often sneak up on that. Only those that try to divide the Godhead. You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you know, these are, it's one. There's only one Godhead.
Right.
Amen. I want to get off on that. Keep reading.
And the power of the resurrection of him.
And the power. Here you have a now thinamine. The power. If you ain't rational, you would have said dunamis. If you could use the thinamine, the power. The power, here, keep reading, the power of what?
Of the resurrection.
Yeah, well, see now, hold it.
Glory.
Of the resurrection what?
Of him.
The power of the resurrection of him. Here, oh my God, hallelujah. You've got all of these genitive cases lined up here. Genitive cases. You get these. What's the genitive case?
Ownership of possession.
Shows possession. And basically, the resurrection is tied to him. And actually, that word means rising again. Your resurrection is tied to him, not to
Glory
you.
God.
I was talking to a certain person, a certain denomination, and said, because they don't believe in the hell, now you know what I'm talking about. They said, but you'll just sleep forever, and I want to wake up. I want to wake up in the resurrection. So I want to have a good record, so I can, before God, so he'll wake me up in the resurrection, I can live forever, based upon my good record. You have a genitive here.
Mm-hmm.
It is his resurrection, of the resurrection that belongs to him. Your tie to it is that you belong to him because you belong to him, and in his resurrection, you rise again based on the fact that you belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how long have you belonged to him? From eternity?
Amen.
When he chose me
mm-hmm.
and placed me in the body of Christ? Resurrection is a done deal. It's a done deal. That's why I messed up the other night. Well, you messed up long before the other night.
That's it. Yeah, uh-huh. That's it. Preach it.
You didn't just mess up the other night.
Uh-huh.
You were castrating these bodies. That's when you got messed up. The nature. That's what messed you up. But you're not messed up because God is going to extricate you from these bodies. When this after house of this tabernacle is destroyed, that's the best thing that happens to us, is that we physically die. Ooh, Peter, what are you talking about? There's a promotion. We got to take this. That's right. Die, that's what Paul means, to die is gain. Because they don't talk. They act like Paul was maybe spoken part when he wrote this.
Uh-huh. I hear you.
They don't repeat it. It's like, this is crazy. I'm not going to preach that. I'm not going to say that in the pulpit. This man must have been out of his mind when he wrote that. I'm going to tell these people to die is gain. I'm going to tell them, get all you can and can all you get. And hold on long as you can.
I hear you.
Which is crazy, because temporary means what?
Not long.
I preached a funeral here. A few people got upset with me. Don't ask me to preach if you don't want to hear the right thing. Don't. Something happened to me. Don't y'all be talking about, poor pastor, are you out of your mind? The pastor from the body is what?
Praise the Lord.
I'm in better shape than you.
That's it. Thank God. Have mercy. Glory to God.
If that's not true, let's take this Bible and pitch it.
That's it. Amen.
Let's just pitch it.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank God.
That's what life is about. So, that's how your resurrection. Let's give me about 7 minutes. We're going to run just a little bit this morning. Go ahead.
And fellowship of his of sufferings of him.
Oh, my God. All of that's tied in together. Oh, my God. Look at all these genitives. His suffering. So, you're going through something. I don't want to go through it. When we suffer, we are fellowshipping with his suffering.
Yeah.
Huh? Anyway, you're crazy if you think you're going to go through the terrain of time in a depraved environment and you don't have a suffering, when suffering is the principle and the law of depravity, you are out of your mind.
Oh, I hear you. Amen.
And even the Old Testament is screaming to you, man's born of a woman, what? Judy, what? Full of troubles. You're hallucinating if you think you're going through here and you're not going to go through anything.
Yeah.
Five ways how to get out of here with that foolishness. You're going to get out of something. Somebody's going to give you 10 ways to avoid something.
Oh,
I don't care if they got 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, 50,000 members. It doesn't matter. That's plain old stupidity. Few days full of trouble. What does that mean? You know, and then we say, well, what is this happening? Things keep happening to me.
Average.
My expectations are false.
Yeah.
Y'all help me. Oh, my God. Average. Help me. Read.
Being conformed to the death of him.
Uh-huh. See, we have a verb participle there. Simophizomenos. Simophizomenos. It is a verb participle. What is a participle?
Verbal adjective.
What does an adjective do?
Describe
what's going on.
That's right.
What is a verb? It's an action verb. Right. So here you have an action of describing what's going on. You see, while you're going through this, and you see, it reads, simophi zominos to thanatu up to.
Mm-hmm.
That is being conformed to his death.
Amen.
I think I end there today.
Glory to God.
That's what's going on.
Thank God.
That's what's going on.
Hallelujah.
Here, this Greek word thanatos, it is a noun. It's translated death, but what is death? The root word of death means separation.
Yes, right.
And here you have his death or his separation. This is what we've been conformed to, the separation of him. What is your separation of him? What you are in the body of Christ.
Right, right.
Woo!
Right.
That's the benefit of going, oh my God, I'm stupid. That's the benefit of going through time. That you're being conformed to what you are in eternity. Each day, you're being conformed to what you are in Christ. Each day. You know that song we sang, and some of them sang, I guess you just sang, some of them just sang songs. It's every day in Jesus is what? Sweeter than the day before.
Yes, Lord.
Every day in Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Sweeter than the day before.
Yes.
Every day in Jesus, I love him more and more. Because as I've gone through the vicissitudes of life and the problems and the troubles, Jesus has saved me. And in that salvation is security. So he saved me and he keeps me. And because of that, he is the one I adore. And so we can say, scripturally, in comprehension, every day. Everybody say every day. Everybody say every day. In Jesus. And they say, well, did that song say with Jesus? Every day in Jesus. Because being in him carries a greater connotation than being with him. Oh my God. We're in him. We've been with him from the beginning. We placed us at the sonship, gave us his nature, made us just like him. Oh my God. Hallelujah. That's the benefit of life. Your best days ahead. Every day. Everybody say every day. In Jesus. I love him. Do you love him? Do you really love him? Do you really, really love him? Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Hey! 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 Hey!
Hallelujah. Oh, bless Jesus. Bless.